I'd like to speak, obviously, on the subject of adoption, or of what I'm going to call divine adoption, the Spirit's gracious act of adoption. Taking into your family as your own, one who was previously not yours, may be a relevant definition of adoption. The Bible tells us that we are adopted into the family of God, that we are therefore sons of God, that we are therefore children of our Heavenly Father. But this concept of adoption and of divine adoption should be noted. My child, for example, as your own, came from natural generation. There was no choice. I just had to take whatever came. That was what I had. That was my child. There was no choice in that. It was also the beginning of my child's earthly relationship, to be Robert and Laura's daughter, the beginning of that relationship. The analogy given to us to help us understand what is our new relationship with God when we are saved and redeemed is adoption. We are adopted into the family of God. As an earthly experience, to be adopted could have mixed feelings, could be a mixed experience with good and bad, maybe a yearning for natural parents, a begrudging, a feeling of no place, as well as the great and gracious benefits of guardianship as well. Divine adoption, I propose to you, is something similar in concept, that we are adopted as an earthly child might be adopted into a family, but in experience, in how it is done, it is much different. God's love, His grace, and His blessings, our rescue, our deliverance, and our eternal privileges in divine adoption make it something wonderful to enjoy as children of God. That we would no longer be children of wrath, no longer children of the devil, but released and adopted to be God's alone, is something magnificent. It is, adoption is, the immediate blessing flowing from justification. We often hear that preached on, that subject of justification. Maybe it's something that we enjoy to hear, it's something that we know much about. But what immediately happens in and flowing from that is that we are adopted into the family of God. Not only is our slate wiped clean, not only is our soul purified from sin, not only do we have the robe of righteousness, which is so wonderful, knowing that God's holy eye is looking down upon us, that robe of righteousness, of Christ's righteousness, clothing us, both now and forever, but immediately flowing from that is adoption. It is an operation. We think of surgery, we think of maybe building something, an operation, putting something into place, making something happen. There is the operation of adoption. With earthly adoption, children are chosen to become part of a family. With divine adoption, God chooses sinners, part of another family, to become, by a work of gracious redemption, sons and daughters of Almighty God. This is a spiritual operation. An operation carried out by the Holy Spirit's work. Verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It is the Spirit's work. The Spirit of God is therefore the divine worker. He makes this operation happen. He is the fountain spring or head of our adoption. He is named here the Spirit of adoption, so then he is the family builder. He is named also, interestingly, in verse 23, as the first fruits of the Spirit. The work that he does and what he places within us is called the first fruits of the Spirit. In that, not only does he build a family, does he take us, adopt us into the family of God, but that he provides for us. There is this third and final work as well. This is something interesting, something that maybe we don't often attach to adoption. But the third and final work of glory is all part of adoption. To seal the family forever, not only to build it, not only to provide for it, but that he seals the family forever. Perhaps most interestingly put in verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 19, the manifestation of the sons of God. This future experience when we will be glorified is our final seal as adopted children. Divine adoption is then a miraculous spiritual act. It's not just in principle. Not in principle, but it is in experience. The flesh, the physical, it's not involved in adoption. This isn't something that happens outwardly, obviously. We know that. But it is a heavenly work upon the poor soul of man. And note here, as it begins to talk about the subject of adoption in verse 14, immediately preceding that is an explanation concerning the flesh. How the flesh is sinful. And how the flesh is evil. And how the flesh only deserves judgment and punishment. And how the flesh is therefore something opposite to the Spirit. It impresses this upon us. The flesh as opposed to the Spirit. There is the Spirit that is of God, and then there is the flesh that is of man. And as the Spirit of adoption, he builds the family of God, giving life to dead sinners, spiritually awakening the dead. The soul that dwells within the flesh that is sinful is awakened, is made alive by the Spirit. Upon, firstly, the election of the Father. God the Father, as the first person of the Holy Trinity, chose us to be adopted into Christ by the operation of the Spirit upon our souls. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, please. For here we see this election being the critical and first part of adoption. We read this morning in Bible class, this passage. The first step is that God chose to adopt. That's obvious, isn't it, in adoption? That the Lord looks down on the sinful mass of humanity and he chooses to adopt. There's two feelings in the heart of God when he looked upon us and chose us. I'd like to read a few verses here together. Verse 1, we'll begin there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, and we'll attach that in love to the next verse, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Election, I'm not here to deal with that subject, but it's relevant here. Election can be a very cold subject for people to handle. And I understand that. But here, election, what's it talking about? Those being in Christ, those chosen. The choice of God to adopt poor sinners into the family of God by the work of the Spirit. This is something real. This is something necessary. This is something wonderful. That God would choose you and me. The election, the choice of the Father. But there's two feelings here, but I'd like you to know it. And the first one is that it's according to the good pleasure of his will. In that God willed our adoption before time. He delighted in willing our adoption. It says there, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself. Jesus Christ to himself, did he do this here as a cold calculation? Oh, I'll take this one, I'll choose the other one. Read on what it says, to according to the good pleasure of His will. He delighted in choosing you. He delighted in His choice in choosing you. Not because you were great, not because you were good, not because you could do this or that, but in love, He delighted His choice. He delighted in doing so. God, of course, willed the fall. God willed the fall of man. That's a mysterious thing. But He allowed it to happen. It was in His will. But He did not delight in willing the fall. But on the other hand, He delighted in choosing you. He delighted in sending His Son to die for you in adoption. Verse 4, also the cause of willing our adoption, the reason for being adopted into God's family was simply love. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. It was an operation motivated by love. The motivating factor, we could say, of your adoption, of God's choosing you, was that He loved you. And that again is a mysterious and deep thought, that God would love a poor sinner so much to take them, to choose them, and to adopt them, to take them out of that sinful position under Satan, under sin and in the flesh. Oh, the corrupt flesh. But yet He looked upon us and He chose willingly. He delighted in the choice because it was motivated by love. And that, the hymn that we sang is very relevant, isn't it? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, we have that verse, behold. And here John's considering adoption. This is what he has to say, behold. What manner of love, what nature, what type, what depth, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be adopted, that He would choose us. What manner, what nature of love. Oh, the love of God, that He would choose me. God sits perpetually, forever, constantly on the seat of power. He rose from that seat of power to create the earth and all that is in the earth. He rose from that seat of power to create the universe and the stars and the galaxies that the scientists look out to with their telescopes. He rose to create for majesty. But He rose from that seat of power to redeem. Why? For majesty? In part, yes, but He rose to redeem out of love. The motivating factor behind God's choice, behind our adoption, is that He loved us to choose us. But this operation isn't just doesn't take place just in the first step that God chooses us, but it must happen. It must come to fruition. Well, when does God's choice, God's loving, taking delight in choosing us, when does this come into action, into actual operation, into time? It comes by the rebirth of the soul. Verse 14 in Romans 8 tells us that the sons of God are identified by the leading of the Spirit. For as many, not that they would be of the flesh or the leading of the flesh, as the previous verse tells us, but for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they, these ones, they're the sons of God. They're the ones who have been chosen and adopted. Those who are in the family of God have been made Spirit-filled and Spirit-led people. The mark of adoption is the critical change. That we stop living after the flesh, stop having our interests set in the world, and begin living for eternity. Begin looking for the Spirit's work in our lives to make us more holy. We begin following after the Spirit in sacrifice of our sin and of different parts of our life and laying down our life upon the altar, that the Spirit would lead us is the mark that we are adopted. Because it's a spiritual experience. For in our experience, adoption begins in new birth. And again, we'll take John and we'll turn to John chapter 3. In this very famous passage. But you know how little we think of ourselves in John 3. We use it and we think of the sinner and we'll preach it to the sinner. But here we're involved in this, are we not? The new birth. Verse 3 of John 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, Well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He didn't know. He thought it was physical. He couldn't understand that it was spiritual. And then our Lord leads him on the right thinking. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that is the first time physically, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Let me ask you first of all, have you been born of the Spirit? Now there's a question. Now there's something to challenge any man or woman who is in any way religious or who comes to church. You come to church and you leave and you maybe attach yourself to church. You call yourself a Christian. You say you're saved. Are you born again of the Spirit? Has there been a spiritual operation taking place in your heart? He goes on to say, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. What happens to the flesh? We die. Our flesh returns to the dust. Fickle and frail. Marvel not then, he says, for that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So was everyone that is born of the Spirit. The wind blows upon the water and blows upon the land, and it can blow strong and blow down trees and create waves. The wind can be seen maybe in the flicker of a leaf just, but you cannot see the wind itself. Such is the work of the Spirit. It is necessary that you have a different life than the life you live in the flesh, and that's a spiritual life in your heart. A spiritual new life is given then. Not only do we live in the flesh, but we must live in the Spirit more abundantly. And it's mysterious, this wind of the Spirit. An operation that is invisible, a spiritual birth. But you see the evidences, this craving after holiness, this difference in someone's life. Before this point then, before the point of new birth, the moment of rebirth, our family was different. Wasn't it? Children, Ephesians 2:2-3, children of disobedience, influenced by Satan, the prince of the power of the air. He influences us and he'll lead us into situations in life where we'll sin. Maybe it'll be getting drunk at the weekends, maybe it'll be taking drugs, maybe it'll be being bad to our parents, it'll be being a menace to society. Maybe it'll just be in spurning the gospel opportunity, but he influences us nonetheless through society, through our culture, and he tries to bring the sinner down into the pit of hell with him. But there is this difference. Once children of wrath, destined to be with Satan forever, in hell, in the pit of hell, changed in a moment. Invisibly by the operation of the Spirit, as if the hand of God was taken from above and plunged down into our soul, which is invisible, and he takes it up and he makes our soul live. Makes our soul live, the rebirth of the soul. And so out of love, he chose you to become his spiritual child. Isn't it a very loving term, son or daughter, to be called someone's child? God, out of love, chose you to become his child. God, who is spirit by nature, has made you his son and or daughter by the Spirit. And thus we are related immediately to God. In the flesh, we cannot know God, we cannot see God, we cannot be with God. For our soul is dead and we live but in the flesh. And maybe that's your situation. And you'll leave this place. And you'll go on about your life in the flesh. Only way you can know God is if your spirit lives by rebirth. The Spirit is building the family of God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? John 3 verse 8, yes, invisibly, yes, diversely, mysteriously, he moves through the earth granting new birth to poor souls. And it's a shame that this family is broken. It's a shame that this family is at odds.
But where we agree and commune, he is seeing his children. And this morning he looks down upon this congregation and he looks at us and he sees us as what? His children, worshipping at his feet. Adopted children, worshipping him in love, reciprocating that love that he has given for us. Oh, look to him as your Father in heaven. Abba, Father. That is the one that we depend on, the one that we look to. He invites us to cry, to pray, saying, Father. And we could, if we had time, we don't, we could look to how Christ in the garden cried, Abba, Father. Isn't that wonderful that we have the privilege to relate ourselves in prayer in such a way as God's own Son could in his deepest, darkest moment just before he took the cup of our sin. He cried, Abba, Father. We also cry, Abba, Father. We echo that, being his children as much as his own Son then. Oh, at his feet we worship as his children. It's obvious that we haven't come here for the visible. And church can be boring. Maybe you think church is boring. I can understand that. Do you know why church is boring at times for the people of God and every time for those who are out of Christ? Because this is about the spiritual. This is about God's voice speaking to us, not in our flesh. We could have all the excitement. We could do a lot of things here that appeal to the flesh. We are here to meet with our Father who is invisible, who can't be reached with sounds, who can't be reached with actions, but as who is reached in our simple crying, Abba, Father. Being adopted then, you are God's child, the spiritual, the Spirit communicating God's word of love to you from the moment of new birth. Say, you are my child. I chose you. I love you, my child. Are we aware of our spiritual and divine adoption? Is this something we have taken to our hearts in appreciation? Here is our great spiritual experience. Spirit adopted, chosen, reborn, loved. Oh, how great it is to be the children of God. And he sits in heaven looking down in love upon us. Let us ever return praise and thanks to him for the great love wherewith he has loved us. Let's pray. Let's leave our petitions before the Lord, our thanks. That's what this closing prayer is for. Ask the Lord to continue to speak, to make the word as a seed in our hearts grow unto praise and glory and honor.